Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's hard to believe it's almost been a year since my next guest sold the Jazz Record Mart. The store was the largest jazz and blues record store in the world right here in Streeterville. But like many great institutions in this city, the store succumbed to high rents. But that didn't stop my next guest, Bob Kester, from staying in the business. Kester is the man behind the Chicago jazz label Delmark, and since this past fall, also the owner and operator of Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart on the northwest side of Chicago, 3419 West Irving Park Road, to be exact. Bob sold off all the records and some of the memorabilia from the old jazz record shop, but that hasn't stopped him from collecting new records, new memorabilia. Not bad for a man who just turned 84 years young, a true Chicago treasure. Bob Kester is my guest tonight at the big table. Bob, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Well, I enjoyed being here.
Let's talk about the new store. Because, you know, when the Jazz Record Mart was gone, I mean, you had talked about maybe just doing the record label. What brought you back to doing retail?
Well, people kept selling me record collections. And we did some business from the front room of the Delmark building, which happily we own, so there was no rent involved.
Right, right. How much of what's at Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart on the northwest side is similar to what you were doing at the Jazz Record Mart right here? And even before that, the one that was on Grand.
Well, it's totally, you know, we have a little less space, but we're really crowded with stuff. I've been so busy buying record collections, CDs and LPs and a 178 collection, that we're just not finished setting up. And I spend my full time, 6 days a week, 10:30 to 6:30 p.m., I'm in the store, pricing goods and filing them and trying to figure out how to get everything crammed in there. Like one collection was 3,600 CDs, wow, all straight-ahead modern jazz, no vocals.
Where do you get these collections? People just collect them and they're like, well, I want to get rid of them, I'll call Bob?
Sadly, it's often a death of somebody. In this case, of the 3,600, the father, I believe, died and left a collection, and she brought in all the instrumental stuff. I think she thought maybe the vocal stuff wouldn't be interesting to us, but she'll be bringing that in. And she brought only CDs, I guess thinking the LP was obsolete something. But, hell, I still sell 78s.
And people are...
I've got one Edison record in there, one of those thick Edison records.
What are you looking for when someone comes in with a collection or gets a hold of you and contacts you saying, I've got jazz CDs. Is there something specific that you're looking for all the years that you've been in the business?
I'm looking only for jazz and blues. If it's not blues or jazz and we somehow acquire it, we have a 99-cent section where you can get some pretty well-known rock artists. Mm-hmm. And the mood music stuff that isn't jazz, some of it is. Anything that isn't jazz goes in there. And we have some people who come and they aren't into jazz, but they like their 99-cent stuff.
Well,
of course, there's jazz in there, too.
Is there a certain style of jazz that you've is a better seller than others? I mean, when bringing their collection in and it's modern jazz with just instrumentals, are people interested in that kind of stuff?
Well, modern jazz, which, of course, is a half century old now, more than that, modern jazz is what most of our customers want. Some are also into avant-garde. Not enough are into trad. And I think it's because a lot of the traddies live in the suburb and we're not that easy to get to. But the parking isn't $4 an hour like it was downtown.
You're circling the block trying to get to your store, right?
And you can park on a side street for nothing.
Right,
you know? Like I say, it's not a great location, but the rent is cool, and it's near my house.
I ask you the question, and respectfully, but why not? Why get into the retail business again? Why not walk away and just do the record label and have a retirement of sort?
Income. We're not back to the kind of volume we did at the Jazz Record Mart, but I don't need to be. We found a space. We looked a lot of different spaces, and this one was not only pretty reasonable rent. Next door for a similar space, they went down there more than twice as much money. And it's not at all finished. The place we're in now had a great floor. there was a floor company in there before.
That's good.
And the floor is just so, the front room is just beautiful. We got three rooms. You walk in and it's jazz LPs. You step into the back room on the left is CDs, jazz CDs. You take a right turn into a room with some windows, and it's all blues, 45, 78s, so forth. Way in the back, we got 78s. And in the back, there is enough space around the 78s that we have music there. We're going to start having films or music every Saturday at 1 or 2 o'clock. We have had some already. One of my hobbies, see, I was going to be a filmmaker who collects records. Instead, I'm a record maker who collects films. And I'm glad because I don't have to live in Los Angeles.
Well, let's see here. Let me do this. Let me take a quick break and to stay on time tonight. And,
sure.
And, but I want to talk to you about coming to Chicago, Del Mar, your experience in coming up through jazz.
Sure.
And Bob Kester, the Chicago treasure, Chicago legend, the man behind the Chicago Jazz Mart, or the...
That's good enough, right.
The Jazz Record Mart. Yeah, right. Over here, which was on Wabash, but also then again on Grand, or Grand and Wabash. Now up at 3419 West Irving Park Road. That's Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More with Bob. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest, Bob Kester, in studio, the legendary jazz label owner, Jazz Record Mart owner. You've done so much for the jazz community here in Chicago.
I don't own jazz. Jazz owns me.
There it is, right? You got the new store, Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart, up in the northwest side, 3419 West Irving Park Road. Really the same concept of what was down here at the Jazz Record Mart in Streeterville.
Right.
But let's talk about coming to Chicago. You came to Chicago in the late 50s. Talk about why you came here and what about jazz music attracted you?
I got a letter from a man named John Steiner. He taught chemistry at U of I. I'm getting ready to retire. I'd like to sell you my Paramount properties. Paramount was a label, as you probably know, in the 20s, did a lot of more recording of blues than any other label at the time. And that was interesting to me because my record company had begun to happen. Del Mar, named after Del Mar Boulevard, which was the street where all the jazz clubs were in St. Louis back then. And John loaned me the money to buy Seymour's Record Mart in the Roosevelt U Auditorium building. It wasn't much money because Seymour had his LPs there on consignment from a one-stop wholesaler. So I wasn't buying those. And it's just as well because a lot of them weren't jazz. So I got fixtures, a cash register, a showcase, a glass showcase, which I still have. It's in the front room at Del Mar. We keep our trophies there. And that set me up. We thought it was a pretty dead store, but business...
Well,
it was quite good.
I mean, I was going to say, I mean, this is the 60s. So, I mean, early 60s, late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, jazz music in Chicago, this was happening. Jazz and blues, there was a market. This was known as a jazz and blues town.
Well, Seymour's was better known than I had thought it had been. There was a guy named Joe Siegel.
Of course.
Had worked there a lot. And he came back to work. And he pretty much did the buying of modern jazz. Because my own taste and the extent of my merchandising was all in the traditional jazz realm. It's still my favorite.
When you say traditional jazz to our listeners, that's stuff from the 20s and
30s? I hate the word Dixieland, but it pretty well covers it. It covers a lot of garbage, too. But I was into blues, but there was no market for blues. So Paramount didn't seem that interesting to me because Riverside Records had already licensed from Steiner the right to issue, and they had covered, they had a couple of Blind Lemon Jefferson records, a couple of Ma Rainey LPs, all the jazz that was on Paramount. They had also done a deal for Jeanette Records, so that gave them a really great catalog. So I was less interested in Paramount, but it was a reason to come to Chicago.
When you got to Chicago and it became Del Mar, what kind of artists, what kind of music did you want to produce on the label?
Well, at that time, traditional jazz. And the first sessions I did here were Albert Nicholas, the New Orleans clarinetist who had moved to France, came over. We did a quartet record with Art Hodes and a full band record with Albert.
And that's what you were going for, was that quote unquote Dixieland kind of music.
That was the type of music that I preferred, and still is my favorite stuff.
How did Chicago, when you think about coming to Chicago and starting up and bringing that kind of music, which is already prominent here, but how did the audience and the consumers react to that kind of music, you having Dixieland artists on your label?
Well, there were a lot of good traditional jazz artists here. Art Hodes, the great pianist and organizer and one-time publisher of a really great magazine. George Brunis lived here. And there were a lot of guys like Norman Murphy, younger guys who played the early type of music. There were clubs like Jazz Limited, which is down the street from where the store was on Grand Avenue. There was a place where Brunis worked. There was a club called the 1111. And it was a thriving trad scene. But I had begun to broaden my listening when I was in St. Louis. I went one day to a place called The Barrel, paid 50 cents for a beer, which I didn't like beer back in those days. Well, it was Schlitz, Budweiser, but beers I still don't like. I liked the German beer. The German beer is what turned me on to beer. I would pay 50 cents, and at The Barrel, Miles Davis, for two sets, no cover, no minimum, 50 cents. I didn't go that often because I wasn't that into it. But we recently issued a record that I taped at The Barrel with an old riverboat trumpet player named Dewey Jackson with some Chicago talent. That's a different story. I could probably talk about that for quite a while. I could bore the heck out of it.
I know, but I mean, that's, I think that the time that you started Delmark, that this concept of there being a change in jazz music, where you had the traditional jazz music up to that point, and then you mentioned Miles Davis, and you mentioned John Coltrane, and others who started to usher in the era of modern jazz. Yeah. As a record label owner at that time, did you feel that wave? Did you feel that the music was changing?
Well, before I left St. Louis, I discovered a guitar player named Grant Green, and I wanted to record him. So when Harry Edison came to the Blue Note here, with Jimmy Forrest and a good rhythm section, we recorded Jimmy with Grant Green. And aside from an R&B date for VJ, this was the first time Grant Green recorded. And we got two albums out of that. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, with Joe Siegel's help, we recorded Ira Sullivan with Johnny Griffin, and another Ira Sullivan with Nicky Hill, who was a really marvelous sax player who died not long after our recordings. He had done almost no other recording. And I was gradually getting my head into the modern stuff.
Yeah.
Like I say, in St. Louis, I wanted to record Grant Green and Jimmy Forrest. Well, Jimmy went to New York, joined Harry Edison's band, came back to Chicago, and we finally did it.
You know, for you, the label and what you did with Delmark is at the same track as Jazz Record Mart. I mean, where it was down on Roosevelt University, but also then up here at Grand and State, and then over at Streeterville. I mean, the idea that you were present to watch jazz music explode, to be the music that people wanted here in Chicago, and you also ultimately watched it decline in the way that the more and more people, it became a niche kind of art that people came in, and there was a loyalty that came to the store, but not necessarily mainstream appeal. Let's talk about that. Why don't I take a break and get the update on tonight's news? But when we come back, Bob, I want to talk about that because it feels like you almost can be a jazz consumer historian for us in the way that you've seen the music change over the years. Bob Kester, my guest, Chicago legend, the former owner of the Jazz Record Mart, now the owner of Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart on the Northwest Side, 3419 West Irving Park Road, to be exact. We'll have more with Bob Kester here at the Big Table after the news. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, Bob Kester, Chicago legend, the man who owned the Jazz Record Mart right here at Wabash in Illinois for years. Got great stories going in there. Before that, it was at Grand and State. Now it is called Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart on the Northwest Side, 3419 West Irving Park Road. Bob still continues to run his jazz label, Delmark. Before the news, we were talking about just the way that jazz, you've been there for all the generations of jazz. You saw it explode, and I would think this would be the 60s and 70s where Chicagoans couldn't get enough of the art form. And you also were around to watch as the popularity of this art form declined. Let's start with the heyday. Where would you say the heyday of jazz consumerism was?
Oh, I think it's still happening. I mean, jazz is spreading all over the world. It's not doing all that well in the United States, but it never has. It never has. The only time jazz was the popular music was the late 30s and very early 40s, the swing era, the big bands. And that was a time when combo jazz was a rarity. Benny Goodman's sextet, mostly guys who were in the band, playing between sets. Teddy Wilson, black guy, brought in to play between sets. Jess Stacy in the regular band, that sort of thing. Combo jazz, when Muggsy Spanier signed with Bluebird Records in 1939, that was it. That's traditional jazz, real hardcore trad. And damn good stuff.
When I think of jazz music, I think of a late 50s, mid 60s experience. I think of Blue Note Records in New York City, and I think
Great label.
Miles Davis and Coltrane, all the people who were almost bringing jazz to a new level of cool, if you will.
Yeah.
What was happening in Chicago at that time when you had all these artists that were becoming, infamous, not just famous, but legendary? What was happening? What continued to make Chicago a jazz town?
Joe Siegel. Various clubs.
Jazz Showcase, right.
He did Monday night concerts at the Gato Horn, and whatever great jazz, modern jazz artists were in town would always show up, whether they had been advertised or not. It was not to miss. And those Monday nights really got my head into modern jazz. But the big change at Delmark was the AACM, the Association for Advancement of Creative Musicians, Southside, and largely composed of avant-garde. But it was Roscoe Mitchell, Joseph Jarman, Anthony Braxton, Richard Abrams. And I was being advised by people who weren't that into that music that I gotta record Roscoe Mitchell, Don DeMichael, straight-ahead modern jazz drummer and the editor of Downbeat. You got to record Roscoe Mitchell.
And this was a different style of jazz than had ever sort of been seen before.
This was avant-garde.
I mean, this is avant-garde, right?
The new music. And Archie Shepp had recorded for Contemporary Records. ESP Records started with... Sun Ra belonged in that, and he started recording. We have his first records made in the 50s, his first and second record that he made for a Boston label whose masters Blue Note didn't buy. They bought most of the masters, the Cecil Taylor and most of the Donald Byrds. We got a Donald Byrd with Yusuf and two Sun Ra records. And everything Sun Ra did after that, except for some ESPs, is... quite a few albums on a label. Everybody thinks Sun Ra owns it. It's actually his manager owned it. But this got Delmark into the avant-garde, and I think it's the most important recordings we've ever done.
And really something that is indigenous in a way to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago brought these musicians were bringing music that had never been heard before to the forefront.
Yeah, but avant-garde was happening coast to coast. It was the big movement, big change in jazz. And I don't think there's been that much change since then. There's been some straight-ahead buyers, but most of the newly arrived and great jazz musicians have been in the avant-garde.
You know, I asked Ramsey Lewis this when he was here, the same question about why do you think that jazz has not flourished in America the way it has in Europe? What is it about American audiences or American musicians or just the palette of American consumers that is different than people in Europe?
One reason is payola, which has been legalized now. Radio stations can charge record companies to play the records. But this is widespread.
We won't tell them how much you paid me to have this interview. No,
I didn't pay, no money. I'm too cheap. But Paola tells Americans what they should listen to. And there are a lot of other kinds of music, country music, rhythm and blues, different areas of the country, polka music. Mm-hmm. We're a multinational country, you know. We have music from all over the world. And some of it's pretty great stuff, even if it isn't jazz or blues.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk to different jazz musicians who will say they do something in a tour in America and they have a hard time selling out the clubs and or you know, they're not billed in the same way. And then they go to Germany, they're screaming fans. There's thousands of people that wanted to check out someone that American audiences haven't even heard of.
We're losing artists. Guy goes to France. Blues piano players here had trouble getting gigs. So Memphis Slim, Jack Dupree, Curtis Gill, and several other blues piano players went there because the pianos were in tune. And there were pianos. They'd go to a Chicago blues bar. Yeah. They damn near never have pianos. So we've lost the blues piano. And that's a shame because piano's been around blues since the get-go.
Yeah. For blues and jazz artists, are you encouraged or dismayed at the number of jazz and blues artists that are coming up in a new generation, younger musicians? Are they choosing this art form to be musically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a bunch of young kids, and they're fairly creative. They're teaching jazz in the colleges. Being taught music no longer means being prejudiced against jazz, which was the case for many years.
Why was there a prejudice against jazz? What
well,
where's that
black
come from?
Music.
Because it was black, because it was African American music.
Yeah. Jazz has always been very much black music. Most of the, you get a guy like Big Spiderback once in a while or a Pee Wee Russell, but most of the most creative artists have been black. And jazz has been part of the integration process in this country. You have Benny Goodman hiring Teddy Wilson and Charlie Christian. Stan Kenton even had one or two black musicians in his band. And you couldn't play whiter jazz than Stan Kenton, I don't think. Nice guy, I met him once. But it was amazing how many Stan Kenton 78s we had at the store. But that's about as white as jazz ever got, I think.
Do you miss the jazz record, Mart? Do you miss the being downtown, being part of
I'd like
Chicago?
To see more people come to the store, but they're gradually finding out. I was amazed how hip the neighborhood is.
Yeah, where you're at, Albany Park,
helped.
Avondale kind of
that
area.
That helped
yeah.
a lot.
Who was coming to the Jazz Record Mart in 2015? Who was your customer? Is it people
from all over the south side, the north side, and the west side. We don't hear much from the east side. They're out there in the lake boating around.
They can't take a break.
You
weren't that far from the river, so you could have just jumped up. Is it a loyal audience, meaning an audience that's very into this type of music, and they go, I got to go to Jazz Record Mart? Or is it more of a browse type audience that's like, well, I'm going to go into this store and see what mm-hmm. I can find?
Before we had the Delmark building on Rockwell, we had a two-story building on Lincoln across from the supermarket yeah. there. We lived upstairs, and I had Delmark downstairs. Briefly, I had a second Jazz Record Mart. But when we moved from 7 West Grand, which was 500 or 600 square feet, to 3,000 square feet, I needed the inventory and the fixtures downtown. But the sign stayed there. And we had people say, long after we closed, we'd have people go, oh, I go to your other store all the time.
Because they see the sign.
Yes. We still get that. They think there's a store there. In fact, they sent the sign out to be painted, and there's a little place where the Jazz Record Mart had chipped off, and the wallpaper store, part of the wallpaper sign is in there, and they painted that over, too. That's the alderman's office now.
You said a little bit earlier in the hour, you said, you don't own jazz, jazz owns you. What does that
jazz
mean?
Jazz and blues. Well, they captured me. They deterred me from having to live in Los Angeles and being a cameraman. Two of my brothers are. One's in the union, one's not. So they're doing what I didn't have to do, but they have to live in L.A. So that's their punishment for imitating their brother.
I mean, you spent just decades of your life in jazz music, whether recording artists and working at the label, Delmark, or, of course, being behind the cash register at the Jazz Record Mart. You know, as you think about your life and the fact that it's been decades, I mean, we're talking, what, 5 or 6 decades now of immersing yourself in jazz music. Would you have it any other way?
No, I'm quite happy with what happened in my life. I've got a good wife. I've got a couple of good kids. And, I'm thrilled. I mean, I get to live in one of the great cities, Chicago. I love Chicago. I've become very, very fond of this city. Not much to dislike the weather this time of year. Right. It's better in L.A. But my mother lived in Santa Barbara, and she used to come to Chicago in the middle of winter to enjoy some winter because we're from Wichita, Kansas, you know, which the weather is some of the best entertainment there, you know.
That's right. You got to have a little bit of the change of the seasons. Bob Kester is the longtime owner of Delmark Records. He also is the owner and operator of Bob's Blues and Jazz Mart on the Northwest Side, 3419 West Irving Park Road. Bob, Chicago treasure, thanks for joining us, Big Table. We appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure to run my mouth.